I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, I'm Claire Mutimer.
And I'm Susie Coulson. Welcome to The Backstory. In each episode, we'll be hearing about an experience that has happened to someone that shaped who they are.
30 minutes that remind us that everyone's dealing with something. So we're a documentary podcast, a docupod.
Except you made that word up. This week, we're delighted to be sponsored by Paola Comiskey, decorative artist. Paola specialises in decorative techniques such as gilding, marbling, graining murals and trompe l'oeil. If you're looking to create something unique in your home, then get in touch at paolacomiskey.com. Just follow the link on our website.
Hi, and welcome back to part two of A Targeted Assault, Sheila's Story. Before we begin, our usual heads up. This is a difficult story about rape, so it may not be suitable for everyone. Please use your judgment. Last week, we heard how Sheila was raped at the age of 62 at a garden party. It was a horrendous and shocking assault.
Never in a million years, in my wildest dreams, did I think anybody could ever do that to another person.
In this concluding episode, we pick up with events after the rape to find out what made Sheila report it, how she told her family, and crucially, what happened when the case went to trial.
The next day I took myself to the city and walked into the police station and said I want to report a rape.
A couple of days after the rape, Sheila felt that she had to tell someone, so she phoned Bridget.
I've known her for 42 or 3 years. I remember the phone call quite clearly. It was very strange. She rang me up on Monday morning and started to tell me about her trip. And then she proceeded to tell me what had happened and what these two men had done to her.
Together, they'd gone to a sexual assault referral centre.
I thought she was treated very compassionately. They obviously understood what she'd been through and there was no pressure on her to do anything she didn't want.
When we got home from the referral centre, I was still with Bridget and I thanked her and she was so supportive. We had to then talk about how we would tell Jim. Jim just broke down and was so angry and just wanted to, well, he wanted to kill Bob.
When Jim came in, Sheila went upstairs and I sat down with Jim and said, I have something to tell you. And I said that Sheila had been raped at the weekend. And he said, what? He didn't believe me. And then I told him that it was Bob who'd raped her and Colin was involved as well. I think he was probably very angry.
Sheila knew that she had to do something that she'd been dreading, telling her three daughters. She first of all told Mark, who's married to her daughter Elizabeth.
So Mark told Elizabeth and they both came out in the front yard of their house to me, just distraught. I've never seen them so distraught and crying. And obviously they wanted to know what happened and I didn't want to tell them. I couldn't go into the specifics with them.
Even while she'd been making the video recording at the Sark that would later be used as evidence, Sheila had been keenly aware that she didn't want her children ever to hear the details of what she was relaying.
I just wanted to protect my children and know that I would never want them to listen or see that video. Yes, they knew I'd been raped, but I didn't want them to know the details because of, I don't know if it was my shame and my guilt, or I didn't want them to know such awful details.
Sheila's other two daughters were told. One was living abroad.
And she did actually come home to give me her support during the time of the report and the trial itself, which meant a lot.
On the day that Sheila reported the rape, Bob was arrested and remanded in custody. Colin was out of the country, but he was located by police. Bob was charged with 7 different offences.
7 different charges pertaining to sexual assault in varying degrees, forcing someone, actually committing bodily harm and penetration and lots of different things.
It took 18 months for all of the evidence to be gathered and for the case to get to trial. The trial was in the Crown Court. I've only ever been to court on training and on jury service, and even then I found them pretty intimidating places. They're meant to be, I suppose. For Sheila, this must have been enormously difficult. She was a witness in a rape trial, so not only would the focus be on events that were deeply traumatic and personal to her, but her credibility as a witness would be subjected to rigorous scrutiny.
When the date for the Crown Court hearing was, what's the word, allocated, I was very worried, if you like. Worried is the word. But I was very frightened that there were 2 men who would go to court who were pleading not guilty, that I would have to be in the witness box and prove that they were guilty, which is a daunting thing. And I was thinking, well, they've got to be found guilty because it's what they did. I'm not lying. I couldn't make up this. Nobody could make it up. But then I thought, what if they're clever and people do believe them? There's 2 of them and 1 of me.
Jim and Bridget were attending as witnesses. How did you feel about being called as a witness?
A wee bit nervous, I suppose. Anything I could do to help the trial and to tell the truth of what had happened, I obviously wanted to be there for Sheila and do that. It was quite nerve-wracking, really.
Sheila's daughters and her son-in-law Mark were there to support her.
Were you given the support of maybe a specialist police officer or somebody from victim support or anything like that? Were you offered the chance to go and have a look at the court before the actual trial?
Yes, I had a court volunteer who was arranged to see me through my ISVA, who is an independent sexual advisor from SARC, who is supporting me all through the months waiting. She arranged for me to go to court and meet a witness to show me the whole procedure that goes on during a trial and how I can choose to not be in court in person, to be on a video link, or I can stand in the witness box protected by a screen or nothing at all. But my own thought was that I don't want to be on a video. I want to be in front of the jury as a person in flesh rather than someone on a television screen. And And I didn't want to have to look at the defendants, so I chose to go behind a screen. The volunteer told me that behind the screen I would only be visible to the barristers and lawyers, the jury and the judge. I wouldn't see public members or the defendants, and nobody would see me enter or leave the courtroom.
The experience of being in court as a witness and then watching her video statement be played to the court was an ordeal.
That was just like watching somebody else. I was looking at it, but it wasn't like I was watching myself. I couldn't believe that those things happened to me. The whole situation was just completely surreal, and I just was swept along it in a wave of support and care from love of my family, who were there all the time, who said they wouldn't listen to my video statement, but I believe my son-in-law did, because he was fully supportive and wanted to see the trial all the way through, and encouraged me to give my answers to the barristers in the right way, if you like.
What was the right way? How were you encouraged to respond?
Just to answer the questions, not to veer off onto other subjects, just to give plain answers and obviously tell the truth. Well, the truth was all I could tell, because I didn't know anything other than the truth. And as I said, I couldn't make that up, and wouldn't want to inflict that on my friends and family. Even if I could have made it up, I wouldn't want to inflict that on anybody.
Both Bob and Colin pleaded not guilty to all charges.
Colin had said that I had thrown all my clothes off and leapt on him because I was so drunk and was consensual.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Learned in the run-up to the trial that the most difficult thing to prove in a rape case was that you were consensual or not. I heard Bob's version in court. I just had to say to the barristers, that's completely not true. The barristers did ask me to put myself in a position in the witness box was a bit difficult, and I had to put myself on my knees. He wanted me to go in a position I was in during the assault, and the judge stepped in and said, that that wasn't appropriate. So the judge was listening and, well, obviously listening, but supportive at the same time.
The trial lasted for 5 days.
Once I'd given my evidence, I was free to go home.
What happened when the verdicts were announced? Where were you? Did you choose to go in and listen to the verdicts, or did you have those reported to you afterwards?
Well, Mark came home and we kept in touch with the detective about the jury being out deliberating. And when the detective rang up and said they'll be coming in to give their verdict, Mark went to the court. He drove there, dropped everything and drove there to listen to the verdict. I didn't want to go. My children didn't want to go, but we were all aware of how crucial this time was. And we waited for a phone call, and Mark rang up quite late one evening, well, around tea time, and said they did it. They found Bob guilty. They found him guilty and Colin not guilty. Collins was only charged on one count of rape, which in itself is difficult to prove. And in all fairness, Colin's barrister did ask me during the trial if Colin had hurt me, and obviously I said no, because it wasn't him who was assaulting me and pulling my hair and hurting me. It was Bob. So Colin was found not guilty and Bob was found guilty.
It was a controlling act. It wasn't an act of him enjoying sex. I think it was him being in control.
I feel really hesitant about asking this question, but one of the things that I felt very uncomfortable with was that Colin was involved in that whole process of topping up your wine glass and making sure that you stayed up, and I felt that he was hugely culpable and responsible, because there was that whole process beforehand where I felt that they were almost working together.
That's interesting to hear somebody else's point of view. Yes, I believe that too. But I also think that Bob planned and set up the whole event. Colin was just going along with what Bob had planned earlier. Come on, let's have some fun tonight. You know you can take six women, and if you work hard, you'll get one of them. Colin was only accused of rape, as one accusation is probably the hardest one of all to prove.
So, Colin not guilty, but crucially, Bob was guilty and was sentenced to 7 years.
And the detective was very pleased. The detective would have been happy if it had been double figures. Just didn't occur to me how serious the thing that had happened was. I couldn't believe it. It's all surreal. It's just unbelievable.
Sheila described in last week's episode how she hadn't thought of this as rape until Bridget used the word, how her overriding feelings had been shame and guilt. I think there's something about this case, going to investigation, then to trial, getting a verdict and a significant prison sentence, that maybe acts as a form of public acknowledgement of the seriousness of what was done to her.
I didn't realise that rape would have such an impact on a person.
And now, a few years down the line, there's the opportunity to reflect.
I think it's made me a lot more confident now to stand up for myself and to try and make other women aware, young and old, that rape doesn't just happen to young people, it happens to older people and even older people. Rape is rape, whether you've had a drink or not. I've learnt a lot. I've learnt a lot about court procedure and the support out there. I'm very impressed with what the police do.
Because we often hear, don't we, that reporting can be a massively traumatic experience. And for you, it sounds as though it was traumatic, but you sound as though you feel that you were well supported by the professionals, and you sound as though you feel you were treated well by them. Is that how it feels?
Yes, it is. And I'm now happy to tell women how serious it is and to please report it as soon as possible.
Sheila's also found that since the attack, friends have confided their own experiences.
People do come forward and disclose historical events, and you can still support them by informing them where to go, because that can end a lot of mental pain and anguish.
I was keen for Bridget's advice on how to be a good friend to someone who discloses to you that they've been raped.
I think they should do what I did, support them, listen to them. I certainly don't think they should in any way be judgmental about what happened, and I don't think they should make decisions about the perpetrators. I think that should be left to the police. Somebody who's been raped needs help. They need support, they need counselling, and hopefully they need to see the person punished who perpetrated this event.
And Sheila, you chose to call Bridget.
I trusted her enough to tell her. I had to tell somebody, otherwise I would have just gone crazy. And I knew that Bridget wouldn't judge me, and I knew she wouldn't tell me what I had to do. I knew she'd be there for me.
I think that talking about it, even after all this time, is very upsetting and traumatic for Sheila. I can see it in her face, and I find it upsetting too.
That pain never really goes away.
I can see that it's upsetting for both of you, and I'm not surprised that it's upsetting. Should we be talking about, people don't know, do they, whether to ask and give you the space to talk, whether that's helpful or dragging up memories, or what's the best thing for people to do? Is it better to ask or better not to ask?
I think it's better to ask. You can't forget it. It will never go away. But it gets easier to deal with the more you can talk about it, knowing that you will perhaps help one other person.
Most people who are raped don't report it to the police. Of those who do, their case may not be taken forward for lack of evidence. Of those cases that make it as far as court, the charges are sometimes reduced, and of course, many defendants are found not guilty. So it's by no means a dead cert. But Sheila did report. Evidence was gathered early on and she got a conviction. I wondered how important that was to her.
It's everything. It's everything. Because, like I said, I couldn't have carried on if it hadn't her. I might even be dead now. Because I couldn't have lived with it. Just all in my head. On my own with no support. Couldn't have.
Is there anything else that you want to add, or anything that I haven't asked you about that you would like to talk about?
Being realistic, it's not easy to get a guilty verdict in a rape case, but you've got to go for it.
Okay.
Our sincere thanks to Sheila. It took a lot for her to share her story, but she wanted to in the hope that it would help others and raise awareness of the services that are out there.
If you need support, then helping organisations are in the show notes. The backstory is all about listening to others and perhaps realising that everyone has something going on in their lives that they're dealing with. If you've got a story to tell, then please get in touch. We are The Backstory Podcast on Facebook and Instagram, at The Backstory Pod on Twitter. Don't forget to listen in on Friday when we'll be talking more about Sheila's story and probably going off at some fairly random tangents. We'll be back with a brand new backstory on Tuesday. Thanks for listening. See you soon.
Thanks again to our sponsor, Paola Comiskey, decorative artist. If you're looking to create something unique in your home, then get in touch at paolacomiskey.com. Follow the link on our website.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.